Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 68 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, as usual. Today's episode is brought to us by Spotlight Branding, your source for all your internet, website, social media, and electronic newsletter needs, as well as Market Circle, the makers of Daylight, the best customer relation management tool or practice management tool that you can get for your Mac and Apple-based products. I think you're really going to like our guest today, Catherine Hodder, along with her partner, Kelly Strumthal. They formed their own small law firm down in Florida where they focused on estate planning. But the cool thing is they did so on a laptop and made house calls. They had no physical location, no virtual location. They actually went to where their clients, potential clients were in their homes and made house calls and develop their business, their practice that way. It's a fascinating story and a fascinating niche as to how they were able to focus their efforts on a specific segment of the market and excel in doing so. So I think you're going to enjoy the interview. And without further delay, here's Catherine Hodder. Hey there, Catherine Hodder. Welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Well, I'm delighted that you've taken the time to be with us today. Catherine, tell our audience a little bit about who you are and how you came to be where you are today.
I started a estate planning and business planning mobile law practice in Florida with my partner, Kelly Sturmthal, and we basically made house calls to clients in their homes and their offices. Since then, I relocated to California, and I work on our blog, Go Solo for Success, which helps solo attorneys and attorneys looking to achieve a work-life balance, giving them support and inspiration and tips.
Well, tell me a little bit about how you launched your mobile practice. So what was the rationale behind doing this? Did you launch your initial practice straight out of law school?
No. My background, I was general counsel for a finance company, but I left to start a family and then relocated to Florida. When my children were in preschool, I started looking around to getting back into the law. But because my husband traveled a great deal and I had young children, I was looking to do something on maybe a part-time basis. So I started talking to different attorneys about that. Wasn't really getting the answers I was looking for. And then I met Kelly at a mom's club event. And she was at the time working for a law firm on a part-time basis. So I want to talk to her of how does that work for you? Does that fit in with your family and all that? And she honestly told me that it wasn't working out and she was looking to leave it because, as is sometimes common, a part-time job in a law firm can be a full-time job anywhere else. So we commiserated about that. And it began one of many conversations about what if, you know, what if we set up a law practice that could work around our hours? You know, if we did that, what type of law would we practice? We both were interested in estate planning. Again, our background was in business and banking, but through personal experience, both of our fathers had serious illnesses. My father had a 10-year battle with Alzheimer's, and Kelly's dad had an aggressive terminal cancer. So we lived through how estate planning can help very difficult situations become a little bit more tolerable. And we also realized that we had a voice to talk with other families with young children about guardianship issues and things like that. So we decided we definitely, you know, wanted to focus on estate planning. And that was something we also realized, that families with young children, it's a burden for them to come to an attorney's office. So, you know, they'd have to get a babysitter, the husband would have to take off of work, the wife would maybe have to take off of work. And so we said, well, if we went to their homes, that would alleviate that burden. Also, we were very cognizant of setting up a law firm, doing it on a very part-time basis. We didn't want to be beholden to overhead. So we came up with this sort of mobile law concept. There wasn't a whole lot about it at the time when we were setting it up, but we basically kind of built it to how it could work for us.
Well, it's interesting to me that you tapped into one of the, what I think is the strongest economic engines in the country, and that is, you know, Moms Network. More businesses and more business gets conducted, more referrals happen, I believe, in mom networks than any other form of networking or social interaction that you can find. So here you're. Practice was incubated in your mom's group, and really that's all was also your target market.
Yes, and that actually led to many introductions and networking, where we spoke at other moms groups and or somebody's church or somebody's preschool, they'd want us to talk about these issues. And yes, moms actually became a great source of referrals and word of mouth for us.
Yeah, and when you couple that with the fact that estate planning so often is tied towards generating protection for the children, it's just a natural hook. Mm-hmm. and works well. Now, you said you had a previous background, you and Kelly had a previous background in general counsel. Were you technology savvy or techie types to start with?
That's actually kind of funny. No, we actually had to learn, sort of on the go about technology and all the things. I mean, luckily, both of our husbands are very savvy with that. So we had to face a bit of a learning curve. But I think once you realize how technology can free you up with some things, it becomes a little addictive of, well, let me learn more and figure out more.
Yeah, and particularly when you're dealing with a scenario such as the one you were trying to get off the ground, you want to figure out how you can leverage your technology to maximize your productivity so that you can achieve that work-life balance, which is what was the cause and the genesis of doing what you were doing in the first place. Mm-hmm. And the more you can learn, the better. What were some of the resources other than dragging your husbands into the fray? What were some of the other resources or that you used to bring yourselves up to speed technology-wise?
We relied a lot on, with Florida, well, it was called LOMIS at the time, but now it's called the Practice Resource Institute. But bar associations actually have great resources for solo attorneys, people starting out, tips on technology. And now I find there's even more information, such like your podcast that, people are talking about it of, what worked for them, what didn't work for them.
Yeah, I think it's different from bar association to bar association, obviously. Some have more resources and some pay more attention to the issue than others. I know a great many places across Florida are really cutting edge or advancing the idea a little more than maybe some in other areas. So you're lucky in that regard. So what were your challenges then? So you have two willing participants, you've got a market, you've got a niche. Now, what did you have to overcome to get your practice off the ground?
Well, I think as with any solo attorney, you can be an amazing attorney. You can have great clients, but I think the biggest challenge is balancing being an entrepreneur. You have to do everything from figuring out the technology to figure out marketing to accounting, all the things that they don't teach you in law school. And so I think luckily Kelly and I, we both had backgrounds in dealing in business that was helpful to us, but it was also the thing that was sort of very time consuming and figuring out ways to make it the most efficient.
I should get a bell. I should get a bell for the podcast. And every time everybody says what they don't teach you in law school, I ought to go ding, 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 ding. Because that's our whole reason for being. Because so many attorneys face the same problem. They don't know the first thing about running a business. And yes, most of us learn by trial and error and listening to the mistakes that others have made or the successes that others have had. So let's start with some of the basics, okay? So there's two of you. Do you have one computer you shared or two? Or did you work up in the cloud?
We had laptops. We started working with a cloud.
Let me ask you, what platform are you, a Windows or Apple gal?
I was Windows. Now I'm fully committed to Apple.
There you go. Welcome to the bright side. Yes. So you're an Apple user. So you got your laptop, and are you storing data in the cloud? Are you using Dropbox or something along those lines?
We're using Box.com. Okay. I think.
Yeah. Was there a rationale for that choice? Did you, or just something you just?
You know, again, our husbands, you know, do the research and give us their expert opinion.
Uh-huh. All right. So that's your IT setup. You know, two laptops, some Wi-Fi, data storage in the cloud. Any other tools of collaboration that you can point your finger at that's made your life easier?
You know, no, we had we have a small practice, so it was very easy to communicate with one another. You know, it's not like we had a whole team to be communicating with. It was just communicating with one another. So
you can use email and messaging and the like. And of course, you know, cell phones.
Yes.
So then how did you go about billing and keeping track of the money?
Well, that was fairly simple with Quicken. I mean, one thing is that, you know, there's a lot of different programs out there, but we always started with like simplest is best. And if our needs outgrew, then we'd look for the, you know, more sophisticated program. But for our needs, really, QuickBooks worked very well for what we were doing.
Did you move your QuickBooks into the cloud or did you stay with a local version?
We stay with a local.
Yeah. Okay. And then did you use the Quicken to invoice your clients or did you?
Yes. So that was just very easy to do.
Perfect. And how about accounting software? Did you have anything, just anything more than Quicken?
No, we didn't need anything really more than, you know, again, we did estate planning, contracts. I guess what was very easy for us is that we would do a flat fee model.
Right.
So that's a lot easier for billing purposes, tracking purposes, and also in terms of a marketing strategy with young families. If they knew, you know, they're going to pay X amount, they're more agreeable to it rather than an open-ended, they have no idea what it could be.
Absolutely. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that streamlines your practice and can save you hours of work each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and cases without adding stress nor chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. There's no more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. Because Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings for the entire team or a portion thereof. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. That's marketcircle.com. The makers of Daylight. In addition, I want to tell you about my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They build a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. And this helps me generate more referrals and more business for my firm. Their services are designed to help lawyers get better results out of the resources they're already investing into marketing and business development. They create an internet foundation that makes all of your marketing work better. That's because these days, almost every potential client is going to check out your web presence before they hire you. It's important that you create a strong first impression. And that's what Spotlight Branding has done for me, and they can do it for you too. So visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for our podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE. All right, so then, you know, comes the $64,000 question, which we've already touched upon a little bit. How did you go about getting new clients?
Well, actually, that was sort of the easier part, even though I'm a little bit of an introvert. You know, I'm not good at selling, but I am very passionate about estate planning, how it can help people. And so we would go to mom's groups, you know, churches, preschools, then we'd be invited to other places. And, you know, I just found that people can see that you're authentic, that you care. And I think just showing who we were and, you know, being very personable and approachable, I think is a big, you know,
yeah, did you put together a pitch or did you just kind of wing it and kind of just have a social time in those settings?
Well, we generally had like a little bit of a structured talk because I really wanted to make sure people understood, you know, what does a will do? What does, you know, an advanced medical directive do? Because there's so much, you know, misconceptions about things like that, you know, and really breaking it down that these things are very doable. It's not, you know, taking a lot of the mystique out of estate planning. I mean, you know, so many people are like, well, I don't have a lot of money. I don't need to plan an estate, or, you know, that's what we like to do. And then we would open it up to questions and things like that.
You know, I think as I transitioned from family law to estate planning, one of the things that I noticed was it's a different sales model. And, you know, make no mistake, we're always selling our business, looking for clients. But, in the family law arena, for the most part, clients came to you because there was something going on in their lives that required an attorney.
Yes.
In estate planning, very often the challenge is convincing potential clients that they actually need to do this.
Yes.
And particularly with young families, as I'm sure you've recognized, one of the things that I noted was, for me, the hook was the children and asking the question, who's going to raise your children if you get hit by a bus?
Yeah, that usually evokes responses of who they don't want.
You know? Exactly. So, well, I'm assume my parents, but better not be his parents.
Right.
Well, you know, unless you put that in a will, you don't have control over that. So it's a different model. So I think what the advantage that you had, which others can learn from, is that your practice was so narrowly niched almost to young families with children that, you know, the problems that they had, the challenges they had that you had to overcome in terms of convincing them to become a client were generally similar from case to case.
Well, and so that's what, you know, like, as I explained before, we thought about like, well, what are the obstacles there? Well, other than, you know, besides the fact of like, yes, they knew they need to do it and they just don't want to think about it or get around to it. I mean, so by talking to them about like dispelling kind of all the fears, like if you do a will, you're not going to automatically drop dead. You know, I mean,
right.
Yeah. Or, you know, you don't need, you know, 3 years of tax returns, you know, to do a will. You know, you don't, it's easier than getting a mortgage. So,
or the argument, I don't have enough to worry about.
Right. And with young families, it's not the money, it's the children, it's the guardianship issue. So, you know, that was something that we tried to remove the sort of ideological obstacles. And then also because I think what was very popular with us was the fact that we did make house calls. So, you know, it was sort of also the logistical of like, okay, how are we both, you know, both spouses are going to appear at an attorney's office and get this all done, you know. A lot of times we found people were very comfortable in their homes to talk about things and they weren't worried about like they have to immediately run back to work. And
yeah, I think it's a great model and it's a great story. And it addresses the idea that particularly somebody who leaves the profession for some period of time, whether it's, you know, to have children or to go on a sabbatical or to do some traveling and then try and re-enter the legal marketplace, you know, that can be a challenge.
Yeah. And I think, especially women, I feel, you know, if they take a step away from the law or business, you know, they feel, oh, I'm a stay-at-home mom, I might be less than. And if anything that I've learned is, okay, you don't lose the skills or experience that you've had. If anything, dealing with children, you know, you really up your game in terms of negotiation, conflict resolution, time management, multitasking. So I think you add skills. And it definitely, you know, certainly for Kelly and I, talking with young families about the issues that they're dealing with, like, we got it, we understood it, we live it. So, you know, and also that, you know, we did target families with young children, but keep in mind, they had parents.
Sure.
And they're also concerned about their parents.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we would first do the wills for the kids. Then they'd be talking to the parents saying, hey, I got my wills done. It wasn't as painful as I imagined it was. And then we'd get referrals of the parents saying, okay, now we need to get our things in order. So it worked out very well because, you know, even though you have young children, you're also focusing on the fact that your parents are getting up there and you know, things need to be sort of organized or it can be very difficult.
I think you need to put that on a 3x5 or 5x7 card that says, you know, returning moms to the workplace bring additional skills, time management, conflict resolution, communications. So I had to mute the mic and have a good laugh at that one because it's so true. It's so true. So then, now tell me a little bit how now you've transitioned a little bit of this process, this lawyer on a laptop. I know that you wrote a book, right?
Yeah. So Kelly and I, we had our law practice, but then I relocated to California for my husband's career. I am sort of done with taking another bar exam because we seem to move very frequently. And I'm also, you know, I'm a Pennsylvania, Florida. I was a DC attorney. I'm kind of done. But what I wanted to do, Kelly and I, you know, I wanted to sort of give a blueprint for other solo practice attorneys or other moms who are lawyers thinking of going back into work or figuring out how they can practice law but still have a life. And so we, you know, created Law Office on a Laptop. It's essentially a resource manual of, you know, here are things to think about when you're starting out a practice. Here's, you know, we list all the bar associations, any of their practice management resource sites, because one thing I found that Florida had a great Practice Resource Institute, but there's so many other ones. So we borrowed a lot of ideas from other state, you know, some have really awesome ones. So, you know, we kind of put all that in there. We've put sort of checklists of here's the letters you should have on your computer ready to go, like your collection letter, your second collection letter, you know, or how not to get in a collection situation in the first place if we have a fee agreement. So it's sort of the things that you need to set up before launching. We actually, this is our second edition coming out, and we focus a lot on social media because that, from when we started our firm, it has become such a force that, you know, I remember one of our clients saying, oh, are you on Facebook? And I was like, what? So, and now it's like you would never consider not being on Facebook. So we talk a lot about that. And also because social media is a great way for a solo practitioner to leverage themselves.
Well, particularly if you're, again, looking at a practice such as the one that you and Kelly developed, because as I said, the moms group is the greatest social engine or economic engine I think that we have in this country. If you look at moms groups on social media, such as, you know, Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest groups catering to young mothers, that's a huge marketplace, and that's where your clients are. It's where your potential clients are.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to pay attention to that. What's the name of the book?
It's called Law Office on a Laptop, How to Set Up a Successful Mobile Law Practice.
And you said you had a second edition?
The second edition is coming out June 15th.
Oh, terrific. So it's pretty timely.
Yeah.
And how did this then also blossom into Go Solo for Success? Tell us a little bit about what that is and how that came to be.
Well, so, you know, when we started writing about like what would be helpful for attorneys going into solo practice or moms going back into law practice and setting up their own shop, you know, there was just other articles and other things we could write about. So we just wanted a place where they could go and get some tips and inspiration and support.
And how long has that blog been up and running? Or that
That's been just about 2 years.
Oh, well, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff there. I see that in your most recent, or one of your most recent entries, you spoke with Nikki Abood.
Yes, she's fabulous. I learned so much about video law marketing. I feel like I could write a book about that.
Yeah, she's a hoot. Nikki used to have a podcast called The Gen Y Lawyer. Well, she still has it.
Yes, still does.
And you know, I listen to it frequently. So a little shout out to Nikki here on this show. But she's closed down her practice, and she's now doing a lot more training and consulting based on her experiences. So she has a lot of understanding of the video marketing. So I'm sure you did learn quite a bit from her.
Oh, yeah. She's an expert. She's great.
So what's the biggest problem that you've had to overcome?
You know,
other than balancing a work life and children.
Well, I mean, that was one of the biggest benefits of what we did is because we could. I mean, it worked out very well for us, even better than we imagined. I would say, as with any challenge of doing something brand new, I mean, a mobile law office was a little bit unheard of, especially if we talked to other attorneys. But when they saw what we did, actually, they were asking us, well, how do you do it? And what are you using? And that type of thing. So I think just having a new concept, but then people really embraced it. And certainly, you know, once you come to somebody's home or you meet them, you know, we dealt with a lot of entrepreneurs, we'd meet them at their office and they're grateful for that because they didn't have to take time off of their work. You know, it then caught on.
Yeah. Well, what's the biggest mistake that you made? What's something that you wish you could have done differently?
That's a good question. There's a lot of things. I mean, I think we probably, and maybe it was the time, but we spent a lot of time talking to people and clients and everything. I wish we maybe got a little bit more mentorship.
Ah, yeah.
And that's something we then, you know, starting out, we really didn't have, but then we connected with mentors and that was a great, it was sort of like, why didn't I do this earlier? So.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of times attorneys in particular are concerned, at least from what I've heard based on conversations I've had with folks on this podcast, that attorneys are concerned that if they ask for help, that ask other attorneys for help in setting up their law practice, that other attorneys are going to view them as competition and kind of not help them or not want to help them or be awkward or something like that, when a lot of folks just are happy to share.
Yeah, and I've found that...
Was that your experience?
Many attorneys. I mean, I think at first we didn't really contact mentors because we really weren't sure what we were putting together at first. And then once it was coming together, and then because it was a little bit new, there wasn't other people to do it. But in terms of estate planning, you know, yeah, we started doing probate and there one fabulous attorney just said, here's a checklist. This is what you do. You know, just walks you. And I thought, you know, she could view us as competition, but she was just absolutely generous. And I think you're going to find that experience that lawyers are nicer than you think they're going to be.
Yeah, let me guess, you're still in contact with that attorney and you've exchanged pleasantries and maybe even a couple of referrals.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes. Because, you know, we would deal with the young families. We were in the Palm Beach area, Palm Beach, Florida. So there's a lot of wealth there. So she was at a very Tony Palm Beach firm. So when we got somebody with a lot of money, she got that client, which was, you know, worked out well for her. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So the moral there is if you give value and you help other people, it's going to come back to you. So
Oh, yeah, that's a truism. Yeah,
I don't know that we have to be overly concerned by that. Well, Catherine, I think your story is fabulous, and I wish you great success with Go Solo for Success and the new edition of the book. Tell our listeners how they can go about getting a copy of the book and how they can reach out to you if they want to follow up.
Oh, great. Yeah. So our book, Law Office on a Laptop, is coming out. The second edition is coming out June 15th, and it can be found on Amazon and other, you know, in paperback and other booksellers. And then I could be reached at Catherine, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, at gosoloforsuccess.com. That's F-O-R success. And our website is www.gosoloforsuccess.com, F-O-R.
And how about, are you active on Twitter?
We've had a Twitter account. We're becoming more active because I'm finding much more value in it than I ever anticipated. So our Twitter handle is GoSolo and then the number 4, success.
Great. So we'll put all of that in the show notes. So if our listeners are in the car or on the treadmill, they'll be able to get that information and hopefully, you know, reach out to you if they have further questions or want to touch base on how to go solo for success.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Catherine, thanks so much for being on The Law Entrepreneur. I wish you all the best.
Oh, thanks so much, Neil. It was a pleasure.
So there you have it, folks. An interesting story, don't you think? Don't forget to join us next week for more of the same, more interviews with other successful solos and folks that have services or products that solos might want to take advantage of to help grow their practice. Be sure to visit our website at www.thelawentrepreneur.com or hook up with us on Twitter at Law Entrepreneur. That's at Law Entrepreneur. That's our handle on Twitter. We do a lot there. Love to engage in the conversation over on Twitter. And of course, you can always join us on our Facebook page. Just search for us on Facebook, The Law Entrepreneur, and come join our Facebook group or be a part of our mailing list. All kinds of different ways you can be a part of this community. But until next week, I want to thank you for being here and wish you all the best this upcoming week. And stay tuned for the next episode of The Law Entrepreneur.